Tonight, if you have your Bible, 1 Samuel chapter 21. 1 Samuel chapter 21. I want to draw your attention to the way we get to a location, not the location arrived. You'll notice that David is starting to run for his life. Saul is after David in the passage. You'll notice, if you would, in verse number, look in chapter 20, in verse number 41, at the very end of it, it said they wept one with another until David exceeded. So David said, I got to go. And you notice Jonathan said to David, go in peace, for as much as we have both sworn for us in the name of the Lord be between me and thee, and between my seed, thy seed, my seed, and thy seed forever. And he rose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. At that point, they knew that Saul was going to try to kill David. And so, I was thinking today about some of the difficulties that we face. And I said, you know, Lord, no one's trying to kill me. I'm very thankful for that. I'm not running from anybody. I'm not terrified for my life. And so all of us in this room, whatever we have, we may have some difficulties, but we're not running for our lives. So I want you to notice all of chapter 21, chapter 22, 23, we're going to look for the next two or three weeks. David's running for his life. And no one here has that difficulty. But it's not just us trying to get to a certain position in life or trying to get to a certain location. It's how we get there that makes all the difference. God uses, and I want you to see that tonight, all kinds of circumstances to grow us, to help us to be more like Him. He does use the circumstances to make our marriages better, to make our relationships better, to teach us how to be usable of God. Folks, tonight, no one is here just so you can work and make a living. That's your side job. Your main job in life is to please the Lord and to be a light. That's our main job. So whatever you're going through tonight, don't forget the way you handle it, the way you walk through it, is what God is looking at. It wasn't that. Now we all, when we're in difficulty, I understand. I'm the same way. Lord, help me to get over this illness. Lord, help me to get this bill paid. Lord, help me to get my car fixed. Lord, help me. You know, we're looking for the solution, the end result. But how we deal with the people about our car, how we deal with the doctor, how we deal with things, those are what God is looking for because He's using us. No one is here by accident. Are you being used of the Lord? Are you making yourself available? Now, notice if you would, in 1 Samuel chapter 21, then David came to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest. Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David. Why? Because everybody was terrified that they knew Saul was trying to kill David. So anybody that had any dealings with David took their life into their hands. They had to be very careful. Because Saul said, I want someone to tell me where David is so I can come and kill him. Anybody that does, I'll give you houses and lands. I'll reward you. So understand, Saul was trying to buy people. You're going to see that in a minute. Because he was so jealous of David. Now notice, if you would, in verse number 2, and David said unto Ahimelech, the priest, the king hath commanded me a business, and hath said unto me, let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee, and what I have commanded thee, and I have appointed my servant to such and such a place. Now therefore, what is under thine hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in mine hand, or what there is present. So David is hungry. He has a few men with him. He's alone at this point in time. His men are held up someplace else. And so David goes in. He's by himself. And he meets the priest. And he said, look, do you have any bread here? And notice, if you would, in the outline, Roman numeral 1, David was running from Saul and tried to use wisdom and cunning. Wisdom and cunning. In other words, he wanted to be wise and very watchful. He wanted to be very subtle about things. He didn't want to be out in the open. He wanted to be careful. So you notice, A, David went to Nob and spoke to Abimelech the priest. One, Abimelech was afraid of David. We've already read that. But you'll notice David convinced him he was on the king's business. So David said, look, I'm doing Sennacherib for the king. And so Abimelech is trying to figure out, should I help David? Should I not? And should I feed David? Should I not feed him? And David is trying to exist. So notice, if you would, in number three, A3, he needed food and persuaded Abimelech to give him bread. So he gets the bread. He takes it to his men. But you'll notice there was, in B in the outline, there was somebody there. Notice, if you would, in verse number seven. Now, a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day and detained before the Lord. In other words, the Lord allowed him to be there. So notice, if you would, the Doeg the Edomite, the chiefest of the herdsmen that belonged to Saul. So he is a direct employee of Saul the king. He is over all of his herds. Now, understand, he's a Saul loyalist. Well, when David sees him, he's really worried that Doeg is going to go tell the king. But David has no idea what Doeg is going to tell the king and the implications of that. Well, notice, if you would, be in the outline, there was a man named Doeg, the son of David, Saul David. He was over Saul's herds. He was there by God's permission. Now, understand, remember Job and all the troubles he went through. God permitted Satan to attack Job. But it was for a purpose. Now, I don't know that God ever has allowed that since. He may have. The purpose of the attack on Job was what? Does anybody remember? What was the purpose of the attack? Anybody remember? Yeah. He wanted to know if the Lord Jesus was trying to show Satan that everybody couldn't be bought, but that there were people that loved the Lord more than all. And they were willing to serve the Lord and do what was right because they loved the Lord. And so he looked and said, Satan, have you seen Job? He's going through hard times, but he does right because he loves me. And he's just doing what's right. And he's always going to do what's right. And you'll remember Satan said, no, you put a hedge about him. You take the hedge down, let me attack him, and he'll curse you to your face. He said, no, he won't. So he took the hedge down except for this. And God always has some sort of a hedge around us. The first hedge was, Satan, leave him alone. You can't touch anything that he has. He's a special man of God to me. And God does that for us sometimes. God puts a hedge about us. By the way, if we live right and we do what's right, then God can protect us. Now, number two, when God is going to use us, he allows Satan to have certain parts of our life to test us, to see if we're going to do what's right. Satan tests us. He attacks us. God is pulling for us. So you'll notice here, look at the passage in verse number 7. Now, a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord. In other words, God allowed him to be there. Now, the world would say, God did this to me. But God never, ever does anything to us. It is always Satan working at God's permission. Now, you might say, well, what's the difference? Well, one is, God has a purpose in it. And number two, God never allows him to go too far past what God says. So whenever there's the temptation that you're facing or a trouble that you're facing, God is working in your life in someone else's life. How many of you has the story of Job affected you some in your life? You've thought about Job in different times in your life. Raise your hand. Let me see your hand. Okay. That's why God allowed the story. He put it in the scriptures so that you would understand God does allow difficulties to come to our life, but it's for a purpose. It's to benefit others. It's to benefit the Lord. And it's to strengthen our faith. It's for those three things. So when you're going through things, don't just look at it and say, Lord, deliver me. Now, it's okay to pray that, but Lord, help me while you're delivering me to always do the right thing. That's the first and greatest lesson I want you to notice about this passage. Anytime you're reading the scriptures, look for a lesson. Look for a purpose. There's nothing in this book that God put there that wasn't for a reason. It's all important. Now you might look at what are the begats for? Then so-and-so begat so-and-so, so-and-so begat so-and-so. So you and I would know that Jesus Christ is legitimate. That's one of the reasons they're there. And also so you can see the plan of God is using anybody. Ask Ruth. I mean, Boaz was a single man and pretty lonely and pretty sad about things. And yet he loved the Lord and wanted to do what was right. And God brought Ruth along. And he was the kinsman redeemer. And he was the great-great-grandfather of Jesus Christ. You look at it. I mean, down the road a ways. Ruth was a Moabitess. She was unsaved at a period of time. And then she was sort of a Jewish convert. She trusted the Lord as Savior. Not Judaism, but she trusted the Lord as her Savior. My God. And so God says, I can use you. He used Rahab the harlot. God can use any of us. So he puts certain things in Scripture to let you know, no matter what's going on in your life, if today you start doing what's right and honoring me, I can use you. So it's not where you've been. It's where you're going and how you're going to get there. So notice with me, if you would, in the outline, see, he then talked the priest into giving him Goliath's sword. So he didn't have a sword. He said, you know, the king's business required so much haste, I just left everything behind. Do you have a sword here? And he got Goliath's sword. So you'll notice in verse 9, and the priest said, the sword of Goliath the Philistine. So he had the sword that Goliath had used, and so David grabbed it, and he took it with him. He said, wow, there's none like that. I'd like to have it back. So notice, if you would, Roman numeral 2 in the outline, David fled from the priest for fear of Saul and went to Achish, king of Gath. So David figures that Doeg's going to tell on him, so he says, I got to get out of here. So he runs, and he runs, notice, if you would, to the king of Gath. Now, he's a Philistine. So David has to run to the enemy to save his life. So notice what happens. A, in the outline, the servants of Achish relayed the song that caused all of David's problem to begin with. Notice verse 11. And the servants of Achish said unto him, is not this David the king of the land? Did not they sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David had 10,000s? And David laid up these words. He remembered that song and said, you know what? They're going to try to kill me here at the Philistines. And so verse 12, and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. Now, understand, David was very resourceful. Notice, if you would, in B in the outline, then David was afraid of Achish, so he faked being crazy. Notice what he does in verse number 13. And he changed his behavior before them. And feigned himself mad in their hands. And scrabbled on the doors of the gate. In other words, he scribbled on the doors of the gate like he just couldn't put sentences together. And let spittle fall down upon his beard. So he acts like a crazy man. And now Achish looks at him and says, then said Achish unto his servants, lo, you see the man is mad. Why'd you bring him here? Get rid of him. So David is both a young man of wisdom, cunning, but he is also a young man that's very resourceful to stay alive. Notice, if you would, in the outline, Achish was frustrated with his servants because he believed David was a madman. So David escaped them. So David was able to escape. D, David was very resourceful to stay alive and avoid all of his enemies. Now notice E, God was working in David's life, just like he did in Joseph's life or Job's life. Even though David had only and always done right, God was using extreme trouble to make him more, and here's the key word, usable. Now tonight, you may be in extreme trouble. Oh, maybe not for your life. But you've got great difficulties. You don't know the way forward. Do you understand that God is going to use these circumstances that you're in to help make you more usable if you don't look at the end goal But you look at today and say, Lord, I want to trust you. Lord, I want you to work in my life. I want you to make me stronger, that I would handle all of these events in my life, problems, in the way that honors you. So the Lord allows sometimes things to come into our life that he might use us, that he might grow us into being more usable. Notice, if you would, the last part of the sentence, to make him more usable. That's what God is trying to do. So if you can see in David's life, the troubles he faces are to make him more usable. Now, I don't think if you ask David right now, he feels like that's what God's doing. I think there are times when David felt like maybe God had forsaken him. If you read some of the Psalms, you'll see that. Lord, you know, could you help me? Lord, I've prayed and I've prayed during the night, and Lord, I just don't sense your presence. Lord, could you help me? But you understand that God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Nobody in this room. Take your Bible, if you would, and turn me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13, if you would. Titus, Philemon, Hebrews chapter 13. And notice with me, if you would. Does anybody, before you look down, does anybody know the next verse and what it says after he says, he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Does anybody know the next verse? It's the one nobody ever quotes. Verse 6 of Hebrews 13. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So in other words, he says, I want you to know I'm always with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that you can say, God is my helper. But do we take advantage of that? Do we realize that God is my helper as we face the troubles of today and the troubles of tomorrow? Or do they break us down? Do they cause us to get angry, bitter, jealous? Notice, if you would, Roman numeral 1 of chapter 22 of 1 Samuel. Notice, if you would, David became a leader of the outcast of his country. Notice in verse 2. And everyone that was in, this is 1 Samuel 22, 2. And everyone that was in distress and everyone that was in debt. And everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him. And he became captain over them. And there were about 400 men. Now, how many of you would like to have everybody in debt, everybody that was unhappy, and everybody that was in trouble? That was the people. They were the people that came to David. He didn't ask for it. Why do you think that happened? God was trying to use David to work in their lives. And you might say, well, Pastor, you know, that'd be a hard group to live right in front of. It would be. Notice, if you would, A, David met all of his family and had their support. In verse 1 to 3, he protected them. He protected his family. Now notice, B, all the troubled and distressed people came to David for leadership. They heard about David. They said, that David, he can handle anything. I mean, David killed Goliath, and we know that Saul's trying to kill him, but he's still alive and he's avoided everything about Saul. We know Saul tried to kill him with his daughter by Michael. He used Michael. We know he tried to use Jonathan. We know he tried to kill him himself. We know he tried to get all of his servants to kill David, or even to tell where he is. You know, we might want to be with that guy. So notice, if you would, be in the outline. He never allowed these men to change his heart for God. Now, folks, whenever the Lord allows you and I to get into a difficult spot, we're around difficult people. God didn't make a mistake. He's trying to use you and I to shine. Folks, there can be people who mistreat us all the time. How do we handle it? That's really the story of these several chapters here with David running for his life. You're going to see where David's men. And now David is trying to affect the men. He's going to do what's right. He still does right. You remember whenever their families were taken in Ziklag? Well, they decided they're going to get up and stone David. They're not very loyal. Well, what does David do? He encourages himself in the Lord. Each time, and then he says, look, I'm going to go get my family. And they all followed him. Nobody stoned him. They said, okay, let's go follow him. David had this rare ability to face trouble and to handle it well. If you read earlier, you'll find where the servants of Saul said, David handles everything wisely. And they respected him for it. Are you and I handling the daily difficulties wisely? Now I want to tell you this. I know there are people in this room that in a group like this, there are bound to be people going through very difficult times, extreme troubles. And if you are, the Lord is with you. If you're trying to do what's right, the Lord is with you. If you're not trying to do what's right, the Lord is there. He's just not able to help you like you'd like. But if you're trying to do what's right, the Lord is right there with you. But you're not going to notice it when the old devil's after us. Because the old devil wants us to feel like we're forsaken. Why do you think he brought down fire from heaven to destroy the herdsmen of Job? To make it look like God was doing it. How did his children get killed? Does anybody remember that story? They're all feasting in one of their brother's houses and they all get killed. Does anybody know how it happened? It was a whirlwind came in. Who controls the wind? The Lord does. So he brings fire from heaven to destroy his wealth, and he destroys his kids with a whirlwind. He's trying to make it look like God has forsaken you. That's the reason his wife looked at him and said, just curse God and die. She thought that if he cursed God, God would be angry at him and kill him. So why don't you just curse God? And Job says, look, we've received good at the hand of the Lord. Shall we not receive bad? And all this, Job sinned not. Tonight, how are you handling distresses, troubles, physical ailments, job difficulties, attitudes of people around you? Now, what I want you to see now is in chapter 22, I want you to see the attitude of people around David. So David doesn't ask for anybody, but all of a sudden somebody hears, hey, David's over on the south, up there on that the hills in the south. I'm going to go be with him. He's a brave man. So pretty soon one guy comes, 2, 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50, till it's 400. Now what? David says, Lord, how do I feed these guys? What do they want from me? Everyone that's in debt, they're running for their lives. They didn't want to be in debt. Now somebody tell me, in the Old Testament, how did you get paid off a debt? Does anybody remember? How do you get paid off a debt? They take your children or your wife as slaves till the debt's paid. Or they take you. There's no credit cards in the Old Testament. You were the credit card. When you didn't pay your bills, they took you. That's where slavery began. They just took you till you paid off the debt. And God said, look, I don't want people to be in slavery all their lives. So every 7 years, I'm going to make it where it's the law of liberty. You know, and so you can be freed up. So every time the Lord just tried to protect people, but he says, I know there's going to be people not going to handle their wealth right. They're going to get in debt. So, you know, then you're going to lose your property. It's going to get mortgaged. So every 49th year, it comes back to you. Jubilee. God is so thoughtful to us. He knows our weaknesses. And he tries to protect us. But you and I have to learn the lesson that David is learning now. It's not where I'm going to get to. It's not the fact that one of these days I'll be free of Saul. He tried to go to Gath to be free of Saul. That didn't work. He was running for his life. He went to the caves and the mountains. We're going to see that. And that didn't work. Saul found him. God is working in his life. David, trust me. We're going to see that in a minute. But the Lord's working in your life and mine. Trust me. When you're in difficulties, Lord, I'll trust you. You may not know the way. Folks, tonight, in all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy path. That's Proverbs 3. That was Susan's life verse. She did not know what the morrow held. She was very ill in a lot of ways, and nobody knew it. And she had so many surgeries, I could not count them. When she went to heaven, she was on 13 different medicines that I had to get every month. Yet, I never heard her say, I never heard her one time say, I wished I didn't have to take all these pills. Not one time did I hear that. So you know what that was to me? A testimony. A light. Don't complain. She'd get up in the morning, and I knew she hurt. But she didn't complain. Lord, help me to be like that. So when I get up in the mornings now, how many of you got up in the morning and you just felt tired? You slept your normal time of hours, but you didn't get refreshed. Let me see your hands. Okay? So you get up in the morning and maybe, you know what that's called when you get like that? If it affects your temperament, your spirit, you know what it's called? Getting up on the wrong side of the bed. That's what it's called. Okay? How many have ever got up on the wrong side of the bed? The best thing to do is go back and get in bed. No, don't pull up the sheets. Roll all the way over and get on the other side of the bed and get off. And say, Lord, help me to have the right attitude today. I'm just telling you that all of us have to learn. I lived with the person that was like David, that when all trouble came, she just tried to do the right thing. And I said, Lord, help me to be like that. And you know what? I want to be that for you. I want to be for the people of our church. I want to be like David in so many ways. Lord, help me to handle it right. Help me to trust you and always have the joy of the Lord in my heart. Joy is not based upon circumstances. It's based on your sweetness between you and the Lord. Because nothing can affect that. Tonight, notice if you would, now very quickly, I want you to just see in the outline. See, God guided David through the prophet Gad and his words. Look at verse 5. And the prophet Gad said unto David, abide not in the hole, depart and get thee into the land of Judah. Then David departed and came into the forest of Herod. So David had the prophet Gad just guiding him. So God didn't leave David alone. God himself sent men of God to help David, to guide David. And then notice, if you would, verse 6, when Saul heard that David was discovered, then he goes and tries to find him. Now, I want you to notice this. D in the outline, God allowed us to see David had a special faith and trust in God that sustained him. Take your Bible and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. I just want you to see this verse. Well, actually, two verses. Hebrews 11. And notice with me, if you would, verse 32. Hebrews 11, verse 32. Now, if you look at verse 31, it says, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. Verse 32. And what shall I more say? What do I say more than Rahab the harlot? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David, and of Samuel, and of the prophets. Verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. Tonight, out of your weakness, are you being made strong? You'll notice verse 39, verse 38, this is what the Lord thinks of those people, like David, of whom the world was not worthy. Now, wouldn't you like to be the kind of Christian that God says, I'll tell you what, Dave Pittman, the world is not worthy of you. You need to come on home to heaven with me. You are a special, special servant of mine. Wouldn't you like to be like that? It's the way you handle trouble. Just remember, out of weakness, we're made strong. So that's the plan of God for all of us. Out of weakness to make us strong. Well, then notice verse 39. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. They didn't receive the final promise of the Lord coming back to get them. They didn't even know the promise, the fulfillment of the promise of the Messiah coming, paying their debt of sin. They got saved expecting God to keep His word. One of these days I'm going to send one to pay your debt of sin. That's the way they exercise their faith. Now tonight, are you exercising your faith? Are you growing in the Lord in the midst of trouble? Notice, if you would, Roman numeral 2. And I want you to see now, we're going to switch a little bit. I just want you to see Saul a little bit. Saul heard of David's vocation and went to kill him. We just read that in verse 6. Now, 1 Samuel 22:6. And when Saul heard that David was discovered and the men that were with him, so now Saul abode in Gibeah under a tree in Ramah. So Saul is there and he hears of David being discovered. So I want you to notice what he does. A, Saul's jealousy produced evil thinking. Anytime you're jealous of somebody, you're jealous of their position in your company. You're jealous of what they have. You're jealous of their looks. You're jealous of their physical body. You're jealous of their health. You're jealous of their money or their vehicles or their houses or their lands or anything about them. You're jealous of that. You have to be very careful because you're going to think wrong. Jealousy is a killer of self. It destroys our hearts. We can't think right. Notice, if you would, in the outline. One, this is A1 underneath Roman numeral 2. He served to get. That's why Saul served. He served to get more money, to have greater power, more authority. So he figured every one of his subjects would do what he wanted if he gave them something. So Saul is going to try to buy his servants. I want you to notice in just a minute, we're going to read it. He tempted them to reveal David's location with what he could provide for them. Look at verse 7. Then Saul said unto his servants that stood about him. So he's sitting there underneath the tree and his servants are there and he hears that David is where David is. And he says, why didn't somebody tell me where David was? And watch what he does. Hear ye now, you Benjamites. Will the son of Jesse, that's David, give every one of you fields and vineyards? Will David make you rich? Will David give you stuff? And make you all captains of thousands? Will he give you positions and captains of hundreds? That all of you have conspired against me? Has David gotten to you and given you stuff so that you would not tell me where he is? And that there's none showeth me that my son hath made a league with the son of Jesse? And there is none of you that is sorry for me? Wow, what a pity party. That's the definition. Pity party. I'm the king of Israel and none of you are going to tell me. You can't even tell me my own sons for it. Or don't any of y'all feel sorry for me? Can you imagine how much respect his soldiers had for him? Can't any of you feel sorry for me? Don't any of you look at me and realize, oh, the king is being so mistreated. He's trying to kill somebody. You and I have to be very careful. Jealousy twists our minds. David didn't give anybody houses and lands. Only Saul could do that. He's trying to get his servants. He's trying to accomplish two things. I'm the only one that can give you a house and a land and make you captain over 1,000. Why didn't somebody tell me? David can't do that for you. Notice, if you would, in the passage, look at Psalm, at 1 Samuel 22, verse number 9. Then Doeg the Edomite. He said, well, I might as well get in on this. Maybe you'll give me some houses and lands. So Doeg speaks up, which is set over the servants of Saul, and said, I saw the son of Jesse coming to Nob to Abimelech, the son of Ahitub. And he inquired of the Lord for him. He said, Abimelech inquired of the Lord for him. He tried to figure out where he's supposed to go. And he gave him victuals. And gave him the sword of Goliath. He really set up Abimelech to look like a co-conspirator with David trying to kill him. Doeg heard Saul say, Who can give you houses and lands but me? He said, hey, me. I'll tell you where David is. I saw him. Folks, jealousy causes us to do the unthinkable. And so you'll notice, if you would, you're going to find out what he does. It's a horrible thing. Notice what he does. Two, in the outline, then Doeg spoke up and told where David had been. He even told a lie about the priest that got them killed to get David's favor, to get Saul's favor. You know, he was helping him. Now, the way he said it, he inquired of the Lord for him. It's like he was trying to help him. It's the way he twisted it. It's the way he made it sound. He said, and not only that, he gave him food. And he gave him the sword of Goliath. You see, he was trying to make the priest look like he was for David. Why? So he could get something from Saul. Because Saul had just promised it 2 verses earlier. So Doeg is one of those kind of people that will sell you out for any reason. Folks, we need to learn to be loyal to righteousness. Loyal to right. That's the lesson of Doeg. Be loyal to right. Don't sell out because you can get more. Don't report on one of your coworkers trying to make them look bad so you can get their position or so you can get the favor of a boss. All of us in this room have to be very careful the motive of why we do things, because jealousy will take that motive and turn us inside out. Now, notice if you would, jealousy to Saul. Notice if you would. Now, that one was covetousness. That's what got Doeg. But notice what happens. Roman numeral 2, A3. Saul had the innocent priest and his family killed. Saul couldn't get the soldiers to kill the priests. They felt the priests were truthful and God's anointed. Doeg killed them for Saul. He was unscrupulous. He was an unscrupulous man. He wanted the wealth of the world, and he would do anything for Saul to get it. Notice, if you would, I'm going to give you the note. I'm going to give you the blank in just a minute. But let's turn to verse 15. And did I begin to inquire of God for him? Be it far from me. The priest said, I didn't inquire of the Lord for him. Notice, let not the king impute anything unto his servant, nor to the house of my father. For thy servant knew nothing of this, less or more. Remember, David had told Abimelech that he was on the king's business. So that's why I helped him. He didn't help find out the direction he was going. That was a lie of Doeg. He didn't inquire of God for him. Who did that? Gad the prophet did. So here Doeg makes up a story to try to get. If you're covetous, if you want something so bad, you'll lie to get it. Be careful of your heart tonight. Be careful of your heart. Notice, if you would, then what happens? The king said, thou shalt surely die. Abimelech, thou and all thy father's house. Not only am I going to kill you for what you did, what Doeg said you did, I'm going to kill all your house. Can you imagine how evil Saul's heart is now? Why? Jealousy. He's trying to make a point, don't anybody help Saul. But notice how far he goes with it. And the king said unto the footmen that stood about him, turn and slay the priest of the Lord, because their hand also is with David. Now, it wasn't. They heard explanation of Abimelech. And because they knew when he fled, he did not show it to me. Number one, they didn't know he fled. They thought he was working for the king, because that's what David told them. Now, understand, David is trying to save his own life. He felt horrible when he found out what happened. He learned a real lesson. Notice, if you would, but the servants of the king would not put forth their hand to fall upon the priest of the Lord, verse 17. Not one of the soldiers moved. Oh, my. In verse number 18, and the king said to Doeg, turn thou and fall upon the priest. And Doeg the Edomite turned, and he fell upon the priest and slew on that day 85 persons that did wear a linen ephod. So the word, the blank, the last blank in verse in number 3 is 85 priests were killed. Now you might say, how in the world could he have killed 85 priests? He was the only one that had a sword. The priests didn't have one. So they couldn't defend themselves. So understand, and they couldn't run because Saul would not let them run. So they stood there and got slain by Doeg, the chief of the Edomites. Why? Because he could get more favors from Saul. And Saul, in his jealousy, said, kill 85 priests because one of them helped David. But that one didn't help David. It was a lie of Doeg. Folks, tonight, all of us have to be careful of our words. The next lesson is, be careful of what you say. You can hurt people severely. Be careful of your words. No matter if somebody did you wrong, be careful of your words. David talked good about Saul till the day Saul died. Shouldn't we talk good about our mates? Shouldn't we talk good about each other in our local church? Shouldn't we talk good about each other within our family? Remember, Doeg lied to get. Be careful. Notice, if you would, number 4, only Abiathar escaped to tell David. Look at verse 20. And one of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abiathar, escaped and fled after David. So what does he do? He runs to David. They all knew David was not trying to hurt Saul, and they all knew David would take care of them. What a testimony David had. He knew that David had no part in seeing the priest killed, so the only one left runs to David. Boy, David had a tremendous testimony. Notice, if you would, Rome numeral 3, and I want you to see the last lesson. David felt great compassion for Abiathar and protected it like his own life. Notice, if you would, verse number 21. And Abiathar showed David that Saul had slain the Lord's priest. Verse 22. And David said unto Abiathar, I knew it that day when Doeg the Edomite was there that he would surely tell Saul, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house. David said, it's on me that you, your family got killed. I am so sorry. Verse 23, abide thou with me, fear not, for he that seeketh my life, seeketh thy life. But with me, thou shalt be in safeguard. You know what David's saying? Look, I did you wrong. I didn't mean to. I'm sorry. But you stay with me. I'll take care of you. Notice Rome numeral 3. David was very godly and loyal. He tried to make it up to Abiathar. How do you make up the loss of your entire family? You can't. You just do your best. And folks, some people in this room, we maybe have made mistakes that can't be corrected. You know what you do? You love the people and you try to do people right and you walk on. You don't let your heart grieve forever because there's no answer. And sometimes you and I make mistakes. Anybody ever made a mistake and you grieve over it? The Lord says, look, do the right thing. Say, I'm sorry. Apologize. Tell the Lord you're sorry. Ask the Lord for strength. And then from then on, walk right. Notice the last part of the outline. When we are going through trouble, do we consistently do right and trust our God? When you're going through trouble, do you consistently do right? Have you got the testimony that I don't know about so-and-so and that person, this person, but I know that person, they're always going to do what's right. That was Daniel. That was Job. That was Joseph. You think about it, that could be you. It's not where you're going. It's not the end goal. It's how you get there. Tonight, are you walking right consistently? Let's bow his word of prayer tonight. I look at David. I see he was simply a shepherd boy that did what was right, and it put him in the position of delivering his country in war. And when he did what was right and delivered his country, the king became jealous. David had to fight all kinds of issues that none of us ever have to fight. But he did it with grace, and he never ran Saul down. He was loyal to the day Saul died. Father, tonight, would you help us to learn some lessons from David? Lord Jesus, help us to learn the lesson of Saul. Be careful of jealousy, it'll destroy you. Cause you to do things you regret the rest of your life. Lord Jesus, would you speak to our hearts tonight? In your name I pray. Amen.